Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I know we've already got a couple of folks that want to call in and follow up on some of our conversations from yesterday, or tell you about some other new topics this morning as well. If you want to call into the show, hold your phone calls for now. Starting around 8:40, we'll start getting to your phone calls, because like I said, we got a guest coming up here at 8:20. And then first, I do want to play this full report here, because you may be like me, you didn't get a chance to watch the governor's State of the State address yet. I do plan to watch it here in the days ahead, but I didn't get a chance to see it live. But I thought this was a good report here from the University of Montana School of Journalism.
Reporting from the Montana Legislature, I'm Eleanor Smith. Governor Greg Gianforte delivered his second State of the State speech on Wednesday night, highlighting issues ranging from tax policy to education to Montana's response to the fentanyl crisis.
Montanans want greater opportunity, good-paying jobs, tax relief, the best education possible for their kids, affordable, accessible, high-quality health care, safe communities, attainable housing, stronger families, and responsible, effective government. I share their priorities, and together, we must deliver on them.
The governor dove right into tax policy, a big issue this legislative session. He talked about his proposal that would cut Montana's maximum income tax from 6.5% to 5.9%, as well as legislation that would lower property taxes and make more businesses exempt from equipment taxes.
Hardworking Montanans should keep more of what they earn, because ultimately, it's not the government's money.
He also talked about expanding trades and health care, including breaking down barriers for health care providers to practice in Montana. And he also spoke on his red tape initiative, designed to get rid of unnecessary bureaucracy for Montana businesses. On education, Gianforte promised more support for Montana's teachers as the state faces a teacher shortage. He referenced Senate Bill 70 specifically, which would encourage teachers to move to rural areas by helping pay off their student loans. And Gianforte said the government should never be able to step in between a parent and their child's education.
Let's empower Montana parents to choose what's best for their family and their kids. Let's protect parental rights.
He also promised to fight for legislation that he called common sense pro-life bills. And on the same note, he encouraged legislation that incentivizes Montana families to adopt by giving them tax credits.
Every child deserves a home where they can reach their full potential. To get more children into permanent, loving homes, we're proposing an adoption tax credit of $5,000. If you adopt a kid from our foster care system, that amount bumps to $7,500.
The full House chamber rose to its feet when Gianforte talked about efforts to address the growing cases of missing and murdered Indigenous people. Indigenous people composed 30.7% of the total missing persons cases in Montana in 2021, according to a brief release by the Department of Justice. Lawmakers have proposed several bills that aim to deal with the crisis, including one that would provide grants to communities to train local volunteers in missing persons searches.
We also continue to face the heartbreaking crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous persons. And this is an all-hands-on-deck moment.
Gianforte also laid out his proposals for combating the drug crisis, including expanding addiction treatment with the ANGEL initiative, which allows Montanans struggling with addiction to go to any police station in Montana to ask for and receive help. He also talked about the HEART Fund, a community grant program designed to help Montanans beat their addictions.
Instead of turning our backs on those struggling with addiction, we're investing in hope and opportunity as they get clean, sober, and healthy.
Gianforte said his budget also aims to build up mental health services.
We propose a generational investment in behavioral health. With it, we'll repair the state hospital in Warm Springs. We'll improve patient services. And we'll better secure the safety of patients and providers.
He ended by talking about shared values.
We embrace the fundamental idea that the American dream is a sacred one. And together, we will always defend it.
In the rebuttal from the Democrats, however, Senator Shannon O'Brien from Missoula criticized the governor and his party for not doing enough to alleviate property tax burdens and not asking wealthy Montanans to pay their fair share.
Every single one of us is feeling the pinch of property taxes, of income taxes, and of inflation. The system needs to be fair, where the wealthy pay their fair share and ordinary Montanans aren't stuck paying the bulk of the bill. We can all agree there are ways to adjust the system while not putting all the burden on the middle and lower income families.
O'Brien said that Gianforte's plan doesn't do enough to address Montana's high cost of living and housing crisis, arguing that money spent on Gianforte's red tape initiative could be better spent on finding solutions for the housing crisis at the renter, landlord, and construction levels.
All right. That was a great report there by Eleanor Smith, a reporter with the UM Legislative News Service, which is a partner of the University of Montana School of Journalism, the Montana Broadcasters Association, the Montana Newspaper Association, and the Greater Montana Foundation. All right. Great report there. Thanks, Eleanor, for sharing that with us here this morning. I sent out a tweet after first hearing her report. You know, the Montana Democrats' response to the governor's State of the State featured a lawmaker from Missoula complaining about property taxes. Now that is rich, isn't it? The people driving up your property taxes are complaining that the property taxes are too high. Very rich. All right, we got a great guest coming up right after this. Montana
90433. What do you have to lose? Call 800-279-0433. Again, 800-279-0433.
Northwestern Energy taking the power over Colstrip out of Washington State, out of Oregon State, and bringing that power a little closer to home. What does this all mean for the folks in Colstrip? We're going to talk with John Hines from Northwestern Energy in the second half hour of Thursday's Montana Talks. The first half, well, we'll keep the phone lines open for you. Montana Talks.
1000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Art, you guys are probably familiar with our friend Tim Adams. Tim Adams has joined us a few different times on the show over the years. He used to be an investigative reporter with Montana Media Trackers. Then he did data analytics work for the Montana GOP. He's a fun bomb thrower to watch on Twitter because he's not afraid to take a shot at Democrats or Republicans. But for those who didn't know, Tim is gay. He is in a same-sex relationship. And Tim, I think he spoke a little bit about this briefly the last time he joined us on this show. He has really been calling out this radical transgender movement. And I think this is a fascinating angle to the argument that you don't often hear. You certainly don't get this viewpoint in the mainstream media because they will try to silence and discriminate against members of the LGBTQ community who are trying to stand up and speak out against this radical transgender agenda. And we've talked about it. The Montana Democrats and some of these hospital associations, this is outrageous. They are basically trying to block efforts to protect kids from life-altering surgeries. We're talking about where they're trying to chop body parts off of kids or give them life-altering drugs, some of which could chemically castrate these children. And so, obviously, Republicans in the Montana legislature, like Senator John Fuller out of Kalispell, they're stepping up to protect kids from this radical transgender movement. But look, it's not just Christian conservatives and everyday parents who are trying to protect kids. It's also members of the LGBTQ community who are trying to stand up to the more radical elements in that movement and in the Democrat Party. In fact, a while back, I remember seeing there was a great guest on Jesse Waters' show, represented a group called Gays Against Groomers, and we've now got Mario Presents on the show with us here on Montana Talks. In fact, our friend Tim Adams said, "Hey, I don't know all the ins and outs of this legislation, but we've got Mario from Gays Against Groomers who can tell you all about it." So thanks to Tim for linking us up with Mario. Mario, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Was my intro, was that a good summary there? What would you change? What would you add?
No, it was perfect. It's exactly what we're doing. It's a great introduction. Gays Against Groomers is a grassroots organization dedicated to helping parents across the country fight this scourge of indoctrination that's happening everywhere. I live in California. I'm hearing reports of it happening as far as Florida, Michigan, New Hampshire. Everywhere I turn, there is a parent in a school district saying, "Help me, they're trying to trans my kids and they're not letting me be involved. And if I try to say anything, they're going to take my child away." That is what Gays Against Groomers is trying to fight. We're trying to fight this monstrous big pharma, big corporate that's trying to literally sterilize a generation of children. And I wrote a blog recently that's going to be released in a few weeks about the historical context of our fight, because Thailand has the number two highest number of transgender population in the entire world. They have 13 years of legislation ahead of us protecting people under the age of 18. And if you're 18 to 20 years old, you can't even start hormones without the support of your family. After 21, you can go ahead and do that without the consent of your family, but you're going to have a mental evaluation, you're going to have an endocrine evaluation, and you're going to have continuing therapy. This is what we're seeing with Tavistock and with Sweden and all these other countries that are backtracking this transgender care. They were lacking the long-term studies to follow these people, and where they're seeing detransitioners, regrets, and to stop that, they're basically trying to pull back the reins on the direction they were going, and we're just trying to wake up Americans to say, "Hi, we don't want to go down the track of Britain and Sweden where they have to backtrack their things. We would rather take the track of Thailand, who from the onset of this entire issue, they put children at the forefront and they protected anyone under the age of 18 from receiving any of these procedures."
Yeah, and it's almost like this viral popular trend now is to think that you're really the other gender, and for little kids to think, especially among young girls in particular, given the body image issues that they face at such a young age, especially while going through puberty. But you know, I here's how I kind of look at it. We've got a legislator from Missoula, Montana, biological male, who actually went through the surgery and everything and identifies as female. And my thing is like, hey, you do you. You know, Montanans, we're pretty libertarian. You live your life, I'll live mine. I got my beliefs, you got yours. Don't hate you because you have a different viewpoint. Might disagree with you, but it doesn't mean I hate you. But that person is an adult. They get to decide if they want to permanently change their life and remove body parts, right? As shocking as that may be to some. But these little kids, they needed to be protected from that, and parents are being intimidated into thinking that, well, you better do this or else.
Absolutely. One of our detransitioner voices, these are people who tried the transition lifestyle, they tried the other side, and they decided, nope, not for me, I want to go back to what I was. And one of the most important voices in our movement is Chloe Cole. She works very closely with the organization Gays Against Groomers, and she goes out and speaks at legislature, school boards, city council meetings, kind of like what we're doing, basically saying, "Hi, I was one of those 13-year-old kids who was coerced, influenced by the social media at 13. By 15, she had a double mastectomy." We have the left saying, "They're not doing these procedures on children. That's a lie." Well, I've got living proof right here in this individual. And she's saying now, at 18 years old, "I regret removing my breasts. I regret having that double mastectomy. I'm having health issues. I can never go back to the girl I was." And she's trying to tell people, sunshine and rainbows isn't all trans. Trans isn't all just this lollipops and happy days. There is stress. There is sacrifice. There could be complications, and we at Gays Against Groomers just want to bring the facts to light. It's not glamorous to want to change part of your body. It's an extreme body modification. We don't allow children to get tattoos. We don't allow children to pierce themselves. We don't allow children to drink or smoke or really make major medical decisions because they cannot understand consent, and especially they cannot understand informed consent. The WPAS doctors, the ones who are pushing this transgender stuff, they even admitted that diabetic teenagers are extremely resistant to helpful health information because they have this idea that they're going to live forever. I don't care. So these kids are going with the idea that I don't care. I'm going to be sterilized. I'm happy in the moment. And our medicine is following this idea that as long as children are happy in the moment, we're doing a good job, which is not the case.
Yeah, and we also don't allow parents to harm their kids. We don't allow child abuse. Child abuse is against the law. So this argument that well the parents have the right to chop off the breasts of their daughter or to chop off you know what further down of their sons. We have laws that protect kids for this very reason. But yet, oddly enough, some of these very same left wing doctors that tried to force the jab on everybody are saying, oh, no, this is a parent's rights issue. Give me a break.
Right. And if you really want to take it to a parent's rights issue, then push the envelope. Say, all right, well, if it's the parent's choice, can a parent choose to cut off a part of a child, a female part of a child, because their religion says so? We know that's happening in this country. We know that it's abhorrent to do. But if you really want to take it there, this is exactly what they're doing. They're extremely modifying their children. And not to bring people down, we kind of have taken the approach that they are literally transing the gay away. It's much easier socially. And I am a Hispanic man. I know what it's like. My own family would much prefer having a little feminine daughter who likes boys than having a gay man who also likes boys and happens to be a little more feminine. And in a way, they are really erasing the homosexual person, because that young girl who likes to play rough, who really likes to cut her hair short, she really is super, super masculine. Well, you know, it would bring less shame to the family if she was just a boy. She could just live her life as a boy and no one would ever know. So that's really a sad fact that we're coming to realization that society is literally trying to erase the homosexual by trying to turn them into trans and saying, you know, it's not okay for you to be a sissy boy.
That's very interesting. And then in a similar regard, they're also saying, well, that little girl, because she likes sports, well, she's obviously got to be gay or she's got to be trans. And it's like, no. So, you know, all kids are unique and all kids are different and they have different interests. And, you know, a little boy may be a good singer and want to be in the choir. That is not feminine. That can be every bit as masculine. And a little girl that plays sports, I mean, especially in Montana, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden she now is supposed to identify this way or that way.
Yeah, and the gay community has always been at the forefront of breaking gender stereotypes, which is really what they're trying to do. They're trying to break gender stereotypes. I used to be a member of the International Gay Rodeo Association. I used to ride bulls, steers, and bucking broncs in competition. And one of the things that I found most amusing about the International Gay Rodeo Association was that this group of people didn't confine genders to specific sports or specific events. Boys were doing barrel races. Girls were riding bulls. That was truly, you know, groundbreaking. We were breaking the stereotypes. Now they're saying that if that girl wants to ride bulls, she might as well just compete with the boys and just pretend to be a boy.
Yeah, very interesting. Mario presents Gays Against Groomers. We got to get you back on the show again one of these days. This has been great to get your insight. 20 seconds to go. How important is SB 99 from your perspective in Montana?
SB 99 is extremely important. It follows on the heels of lots of historical legislation that's coming down the pipeline. We need to protect our children. We need to protect the future. We need to stop transing gay children. We need to stop transing straight children. We need to stop transing all children. And if you want to get involved, join Gays Against Groomers at www.gaysagainstgroomers.com.
All right, Mario Presents. Great to have you on the show. Great to chat with you. Enjoyed seeing you on Jesse Waters' show. Thanks to our friend Tim Adams for linking us up this morning. Phone lines are open for you, 294-0970.
This is Where Montana Talks. Call Aaron on the Parsec Data Management phone lines, 406-294-0970. Parsec Data Management, securing critical business IT. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, lot to talk about this morning here. We got the phone lines open for you. I also know we are going to get an update on a call that we received yesterday. We got a phone call from a gentleman in Kalispell named Kirk, who spoke about some allegations about alleged sexual assaults at Glacier High School in Kalispell. Some of you probably, you know, heard the phone call and said, hey, what's the story there? Well, Dominic Vitello with NBC Montana now has a full story that has been posted along with reaction from the school and from the state superintendent as well here. Here's the headline. Parents, athletes raise concerns about alleged sexual assaults among Glacier wrestlers. And Kirk, I think, is going to give us a quick update here in a second as well. First, let's go to Jim in the Flathead. Jim, thanks for the call. What do you want to share?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say how interesting it is how the line in the sand for what stands as conservatism seems to be getting redrawn every 5 years. You know, 15 years ago, conservatives were against homosexuality in general and definitely gay marriage. Then, like 8 years ago, we said, "Oh no, we're not against gay marriage, but we think it should be, you know, up to the states." And now you fast forward to today, Trump is having gay dinners in Mar-a-Lago, you know, with like gay activists, and now like Montana Talk Conservative Radio is having gays for groomer,
groomers. Gays against groomers.
Gays against groomers. So you're saying how interesting it is that this group is just breaking down gender stereotypes. Okay, well, in another 5 years, are conservatives, is the line going to be redrawn again? And conservatives are going to be saying, oh, hey, listen, we're all for child transitioning and chemical castration, but where we draw the line is pedophilia. So where does the line? The line keeps getting moved. Where do we stop?
Well, I haven't moved those lines. I haven't moved those lines. I would agree with you that some in the conservative movement have moved those lines, and they've done it for political reasons because the culture has shifted and the electorate has shifted, and they feel that's what they need to do to win elections. But I'll guarantee you, I haven't shifted on any of those lines. I still am against the changing of the definition of marriage. Government didn't create the definition of marriage, so government shouldn't be changing the definition of marriage. The reason why I think having people like Mario on the show is important is because right now we have got to combat this dangerous movement that is underway and is targeting your kids. And if we've got allies from the LGBT movement that wants to team up with us to protect our kids, well, let's team up with them to protect our kids. But that doesn't mean that my views on the definition of marriage or anything else have changed. You can say whatever you want about Trump and who he has dinner with, but my views on these topics have not changed.
So we can say, so I get that we need allies, but what we need to understand is that when we have these groups on, like conservative radio, it helps, subtly, but it helps the normalization of homosexuality. And that is the bedrock. And once you normalize homosexuality, then you normalize transgenderism. It's the root. It's the foundation. I understand that your heart is in the right place. I get that.
I respect your position, but what I'm telling you is that it is that we have got to win this fight to protect our kids right now, and it's going to take all of us getting in the fight together. But I respect where you're coming from and appreciate your opinion on that matter. But like I say, if we have got to push back, we have got to point out how we have got to point out the fact that the radical element in the Democrat Party, which is the controlling element in the Democrat Party right now, that they are pursuing this radical agenda, and we have got to highlight the fact that even people on what typically would be their own side of these issues are standing up to disagree and speak out against this. And the liberal mob media is trying to silence them, too. And I think it's important that we point that out. But I respect where you're coming from, and I appreciate you calling in. We got more callers on the line, or Jim, I'd keep it going here. Definitely call back in again. I want to continue this conversation. First, though, we do have Kirk Nance back with us. Kirk Nance out of Kalispell back on the phone lines. Kirk is the gentleman who called in yesterday detailing his concerns about these alleged sexual assaults among Glacier High School wrestlers. Kirk, our producer Travis did share with me there is now an NBC Montana story that is out. What stood out to you in this NBC Montana report?
Well, I think the most important thing that stands out is the lack of the administration and the people at the school to get these kids that have been accused, I guess for lack of better words, to be taken off the team. They're still on the team. The kids that have been assaulted are afraid to be there. They're wrestling these other guys. It's kind of a ongoing deal with this school. Also, is if you look back, the administration down there, Mark Dennehy has been the athletics director since the opening of the school, and this continues to happen time and time again. And there, there's protocols in place on these buses that should have been followed that weren't followed. And, you know, it's just a little upsetting to me. I can't understand why after I started this 3 weeks ago, I had figured out what had happened to the one boy and had told his mom, and we went and made a police report. But after 3 weeks, this kids are still wrestling. It's just business as usual down there.
So your point is basically, okay, we've got these allegations out there. You feel there's strong evidence. Even in this NBC Montana report, it references videos that are available. So your point is, hey, there's enough evidence here to justify the removal of some of these students here. Very interesting. Kirk, thanks for the follow-up call. Again, I'd tell people there is a full story at NBC Montana right now. After 5 emails to both the school district's Title IX investigator and to Superintendent Micah Hill, Dominic Vitello reports, we asked a list of questions, including how many alleged victims there were, whether parents should feel safe putting their kids in school sports, and how something like this can happen with coaches and staff present. The Kalispell Police Department has opened an investigation, but couldn't answer too many questions, according to this NBC Montana report. Here is the response that NBC Montana got from the school superintendent. We recently were made aware of alleged misconduct involving some of our students that reportedly took place last school year. As soon as we learned of this incident, we responded swiftly and firmly. A police investigation is underway into this matter, which does not require state involvement because of privacy concerns and the ongoing investigation. We are unable to share additional details. So that's part of what the response was in this NBC Montana report. Kirk, thanks for sharing this this tough story with us, and thanks for giving us the update there as well. All right, next up on the phone lines, Peggy Miller out of Laurel. Peggy, thanks for calling in. What did you want to share with our listeners this morning?
Good morning, Aaron. Well, we have a couple of things. One event that's coming up this weekend for everyone in the area is it's a workshop. We call it like a legislative workshop, but we have Steve White with badbills.com. He's going to be on, and he's going to help us explain how to go on with your computer to the website, Montana State website, his website, how to maneuver to look up bills, track bills, how to contact your legislator, how to find your legislator, send comments to them. And so I think it's a really important workshop for people to come to. We'll also be discussing things that are going on in Yellowstone County and a few of the surrounding counties. So it's just a really good information. It's at the Billings Public Library this Saturday, the 28th at 1:30 p.m. And so we just look forward for people to come out and just start getting really engaged and educated on these these things.
And you've got a Facebook page or something where if people want to stay up to speed with the events you're hosting, speakers you're having, that where they can follow you, right?
Right. It's Montanans in Action.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And then I saw an email from you as well, because you said, hey, I think I'm going to call in this morning. There was something about a troop deployment.
Right. Yes. Sometimes these things just kind of happen sudden. But the reserve of the reserve 592nd Ordnance Company out of Billings is deploying two platoons this Sunday, January 29th. And so we've done rallies for these troops before as they leave. We line the rims with our cars and American flags. And so as they fly off, they can look down and they can see us. And we're just showing them our support and just letting them
That's
know
awesome.
How much we appreciate it.
Giving
and
them a proper send-off.
Yep. Exactly. Come and stick your flag out the car window and wave it. They'll be able to see it.
That's right. Yeah, hold that thought. Back after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
National debt is now the highest since World War II and forecast to break that record soon. In 2022, last year alone, it hit 98% of our gross domestic product. Now, by the way, and Betsy McCoy, she's a great researcher. She points out that the United States is in the company of countries and nations like Mozambique, Angola, Portugal, Greece. Do we really want our kids? Do we really want to rob them blind by spending ourselves into oblivion? You know, over the last 50 years, the GDP, the debt-to-GDP ratio has averaged 46%. We're now over double that. And Joe Biden just keeps adding to it.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
My friend had his home stolen. The crime is home title theft. It's real. It's horrendous, but it's real, and it's everywhere. Now, luckily, this was just a demo, but I saw how criminals all around the world target American homeowners, and that's why I protect my home with Home Title Lock, and you need to as well. And a thief can simply forge your signature on a legal document claiming you sold your home to them. Homeowners insurance and common identity theft programs do not protect you, but Home Title Lock does. So protect yourself. Just go to their website. It's HomeTitleLock.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Verify your home's title is still safely in your name. Then just register your address for a free, no-obligation home title report for your files. That is a $100 value.
At FightingForAir.org.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios. Trusted by the Northwest. Montana-owned. Online at GrizzlyGoldandSilver.com.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open right now. If you got something you want to share, call in quick. We'll get to you quick as we can before we run out of time for this hour of the show. 406-294-0970 on our Parsec data management phone lines. But, yeah, great phone call from Jim in the Flathead. And then, yeah, very interesting update from Kirk out of Kalispell. Kirk, thanks for calling in. Down the road, I do want to give that issue some more attention. I know we've got kind of a busy lineup today, and we promised other callers that we'd get to their phone calls as well. So rest assured, we will give your story and that story more attention, especially as we get more information out of the police department and out of the school district as well. But I think that, you know, the real question that raises is, okay, there's allegations, there's a police department investigation. At what point would a school then say, okay, we've got enough information that would justify pulling these kids out of school or pulling them off the team? That's I think those are the types of questions that people are going to be asking for the school district and for the police department to say, okay, is there enough information there that would justify a removal or not? And so, I imagine those are some serious conversations that school boards are having with the school superintendent and the police department as well behind the scenes right now. But thanks for putting that on our radar. Let's see. Right on John in Paradise Valley sent us a message. Hey, Aaron, did you say you are going to have on the show the head of Northwest Energy this morning. Yeah, you're right. Right on, John. As usual, we coming up around 9:40, we're going to have not the CEO of Northwestern Energy, but John Hines is a guy who's been there for a number of years. He's one of their experts on transmission lines and a lot of the detailed stuff. But we're going to be talking with John Hines from Northwestern Energy about their recent acquisition of the ownership of Colstrip. They were able to take away the ownership from, you know, Washington and Oregon and take back that power into the hands closer to home here in Montana and South Dakota. So what does this mean for Colstrip? What does it mean for the coal-fired power plant and the coal mine in Colstrip? You're right. That's what we're going to be talking about with John Hines at around 9:40. Also, coming up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour of this show, we're going to do our weekly legislative update with the Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer. He's going to join us for our weekly update. He's going to join us every Thursday of the session. And that'll be timely. That's partly why I wanted to play the Governor's State of the State address for you here in the 8 o'clock hour, so that then when we talk about it with Speaker of the House Regeer, you'll kind of have an idea of what was covered in the State of the State address if you didn't get a chance to watch it yourself. High Mountain Drifter out of St. Ignatius sent us a message regarding our Gays Against Groomers interview. The listener out of St. Ignatius said this: "Thanks for reporting on this point of view within the gay community. Not all agree with forced narratives within diverse communities, and those voices deserve to be heard." To me, I think the other reason why having an interview like that on this show is so important, because I think what we are seeing here in America is we are now seeing the extent to which this absurdity is taking us as a country, right? And we talked about this with Abdu Murray, who was the latest speaker at the Big Sky Worldview Forum, just one of many, you know, leading Christian thinkers that we have on the show very often here on Montana Talks, and many who have been critical of the LGBTQ lifestyle, right? Abdu Murray said something fascinating at Word of Life Church last Sunday. He said, "We are no longer in the post-truth environment where the left is arguing that truth, there is no truth. Now we are in a post-modern culture where they'll say, yeah, you know what, there is a truth, there is a truth, but feelings and preferences are more important than truth." Think on that one for a second.